I will start now with Bill Grady, KMBZ News. What is your question?
My question is, what is the status of the Kansas City, Missouri School District, especially in terms of when the deadline would be or when the projection is to get some sort of a provisional reaccreditation?
Thanks, Bill. This is Kristen Castro. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Kansas City, this year on their final annual performance report, got 5 points. That still puts them in the unaccredited classification, and that does not change what their classification would be, which as of January 1 was unaccredited. As you know, the department under current law cannot do any significant intervention there until June 30, 2014. So we will continue our improvement efforts and continue to provide support to the district as they continue to work toward school improvement and improving student performance.
Just a quick follow-up, Dr. Nicastro. There has been a lot of talk here about whether the district should be actually taken over by either the mayor's office or some different body of governance. Has any traction happened on that front?
No, Bill. That's the law I was referring to, and right now that law still remains that keeps them intact, current governance intact, until at least 2014. Okay.
Now, Bob Satnan, it's the Daily Democrat.
Hi, thanks. To be honest with you, I just got this stuff open today, and I'm still going through it. But Sedalia did get 14 out of 14 again. But I know that you're moving away from accreditation with distinction. You want to talk about that just a little bit?
Sure. We're not really moving away from it. We're simply, this is the final annual performance report that will be released for the fourth cycle of MSIP, the Missouri School Improvement Program. Because of that, and because we're transitioning to MSIP 5, we will not be releasing a list of districts recognized for distinction and performance as we have in the past. With MSIP 5 and starting with 2000 and I think it's 15, we will be releasing, once we have 3 years of APRs under the new system, we then will be recognizing districts when we reclassify them for the new classification designation of accredited with distinction. So rather than just a list, they will actually have a new accreditation level called accredited with distinction. So I think that that is that's one reason why we're having this little Let me take a few moments and just run through some general things that I think will help you before we start on your questions. First of all, under the final APRs, now, for those of you who have been covering this for a while, this is much earlier than the department has ever released the final APRs. We feel like that's a real advantage for school districts because it gives them access to their data that they can use for planning for this coming school year and use to really support their school improvement efforts. With this release, we have 510 districts that are fully accredited, 9 that are provisionally accredited, and 3 that are unaccredited. Those 3, of course, are St. Louis, Kansas City, and Riverview Gardens. Of those districts, that status, we still have 6, I believe, that have yet to receive a fourth cycle classification, and those classification decisions will be recommendations and decisions will be made in September. So over the next few weeks, we'll be reviewing in very close detail the data from those 6 districts and taking a recommendation for fourth cycle classification to our board in September. We think the fact that so many of our districts are meeting the standards of fourth cycle is really important, because it shows, as we have throughout the history of MSIP, that we continue in Missouri to set very high standards, and we continue to hold our districts and our students accountable for continuous school improvement. This year, of course, for the first time, we will not be issuing AYP reports. With the receipt of the waiver from No Child Left Behind, MSIP is now the sole accountability system for both state and federal purposes. So we don't have the confusion that we've had previously with the APR and AYP. This year we did have over 600,000 students in the state taking part in MAP testing. We were pleased that we continue to move toward more electronic testing. All end-of-course testing now is online, which also allows for much faster turnaround, and we'll be moving toward online testing for 3 through 8 as well in the next few years. Just to review, a K-12 district must meet at least 9 of the 14 accreditation standards to be fully accredited and 6 to be provisionally accredited under the fourth cycle. A K-8 school district must meet at least 5 of 7 to be fully accredited and 4 of 7 and 4 provisional. That, of course, is the fourth cycle, and we'll have a new scoring system under MSIP 5. So with that, let's go back to our questions, and Sarah will continue.
Okay, Bob Watson, what's your question? Are you here, Bob? Okay, we'll move on to Catherine Martin. What's your question? Okay, D.L. Singer of the Beacon, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I see in the St. Louis City School District they met one academic standard and 6 others for a total of 7. Is that going to be good enough to recommend provisional accreditation? And if not, what do they have to do to get that recommendation?
You know, we've been working closely with the St. Louis Public Schools, and we're thrilled to see their steady improvement. This would be, in fact, the second year that they've made sufficient accreditation standards to fall into that provisional accreditation. What we've said from the beginning, Dale, is that we're looking for sustained improvement over time. For us, that has generally been at least 3 years of data. So we'll be looking for continued improvement next year.
Well, if they continue to improve, I know you can't make a commitment a year in advance, but that's what they would take. So it would be at least earliest would be next year?
We would not take a recommendation for a change prior to having 3 years of data.
Okay, Heather Hollingsworth with AP. All right, Jessica Bach with Post-Dispatch.
Yeah, I'm here. Heather Hollingsworth, I'm sorry, I didn't take my phone off mute. Following up on the St. Louis situation, though, how does that work with the district switching to a new accreditation system and the 3 years of improvement?
Well, I think we're going to have to review that very carefully. The first year of MSIP 5 reporting will be about this time next year. So we're going to have to figure out how we're going to consider really their status under two systems and what that looks like. That's why, you know, I think it's premature for us to really give any kind of specific assurance, because we have to figure out what that transition is going to look like in detail. It's one of the things, frankly, we'll be working with districts on this year as we have to develop this transition plan to MSIP 5.
Is it a possibility, though, that something could change next year, or is it just impossible to say?
We can't really indicate at this point.
Okay, there are two other districts that I was intrigued by. There was Normandy and Hickman Mills.
Hold on, we need to go to Jessica.
So are we going to second round?
We hope so.
Go ahead, okay. Jessica.
Yeah, so not only did St. Louis gain a point, but as Heather mentioned, Normandy and Riverview Gardens also did. So in some of these urban districts that you've been looking at, are you seeing the improvement you want to see? And with Normandy up for review, what kind of recommendation will you be making for them?
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that the difference between 4 and 5 is still puts them in the unaccredited range, as does the difference between 3 and 4. So we're not particularly, while we're happy to see any kind of progress, 1 year of fluctuation in a single standard does not long-term improvement necessarily make. So I would say that while we're certainly happy to see any sign of progress, we're far from satisfied with the status of those districts at this point. As far as what we're going to recommend about Normandy, that's something we'll be looking at over the next several weeks.
Okay, Joe Robertson, KC Star.
Yes, hello. Very interested in Hickman Mills here also, as well as Kansas City. And one, I think you've answered the question about Kansas City. They bumped from 3 to 5. I'd like to hear impression on the significance of that or not. And also now Hickman Mills is one of those districts that needs to be classified, and they fell to 7. Does that project then that they will fall to provisional?
Not necessarily, Joe. Again, we'll be looking at the trends. We'll be looking at the specific data. When we make classifications decisions, we not only look at the APR numbers that you're seeing, but we go down and look actually at the MPI points and the specific achievement points that are creating those designations. So we'll be doing some very detailed, careful analysis before we make those calls.
Joe Leahy, KCTV5. Are you here? Okay, Kaylin Ponch, St. Charles Patch. Okay, anyone here from the KCTV5 news desk? Christopher Husted, KBIA.
Hi, Emily Rittman here with KCTV5. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, okay. Emily, go ahead.
Thank you. We just got these numbers, so I'm listening in for just mostly background information. But I did want to ask, for us to kind of really break this down layman's terms, if a parent is to look at this and say they have a child in the Kansas City, Missouri School District or a child in the Hickman Mills School District, what do these numbers really mean for a parent who doesn't have all the background and all the knowledge of what these, you know, tests do and what DESE takes a look at, you know, for these numbers? How would you really kind of break it down layman's terms and for a parent?
Well, from a parent's perspective, I think it's a very different situation. I think parents need to look at how their individual child is progressing. Those detailed reports are provided for parents so they can look and see how their own child is doing in math and communication arts. And at the high school level, they can see whether or not they were proficient in Algebra 1 and English and all those things that they need to be proficient in. So from that perspective, that's what I would be looking at. I'd also be looking from a parent perspective at how my school is doing overall. What's the climate like? How do the teachers and the principals interact with me as a parent? How's the communication? So I think the parent perspective is something that the numbers don't necessarily reflect when you look at it at our level. From our level, and let me go in between here. From the teacher level, the data provides them with information about how their kids as a whole are doing so that they can measure their instruction and set their instructional goals and their strategies based on what's proving to be effective and what's not effective. At the school level, the principal can look and see which grade levels might have success or which programs might be proving to be effective to make those kinds of changes at the school level. And at the district level, they'd be looking at specific schools to see which ones are making progress, which ones might need more support, and so forth. From our perspective, what we're looking at is is that big picture, that overall view. You know, our responsibility under state law and the Constitution is to classify school districts. So we do that, and we use the system to do that. More importantly, we use this system to apportion our resources and our support systems so that we know which districts need the most support from the department.
Okay, do we have Christopher Husted, KBIA?
Yeah, no question, thanks.
Okay, Leslie Collins, Northeast News in Kansas City.
Hi, this is for Chris. I know that you guys are going to continue to work with the Kansas City School District. Can you go into more detail about how you're continuing to work with them and the specific things that you're working on to help the school district improve?
Yeah, we have our regional school improvement process that's in place, and our regional school improvement team, which is made up of our area supervisor as well as federal programs coordinator, some instructional specialists, as well as people from our agency, meet with them monthly to review their plans and to offer support. In addition, we have, under the school improvement grant that we awarded to specific schools, we have a turnaround team who meets with those school principals and district personnel also monthly to put in place some specific strategies around turning around schools that are really in urgent need of assistance. To that end, those folks actually visit classrooms and document their observations from specific classroom visits.
Okay.
In addition, we've had teams of people here from our department who have been into the district and done a curriculum audit to ensure that their curriculum is aligned and that they're addressing standards appropriately. We're going to be continuing to refine all those processes as we go forward with the goal of trying to improve and ramp up our support that we can.
Mary Ferrucci, Missouri Net.
Yes, I have a question about standardized testing and No Child Left Behind. So if the state of Missouri has been waived of the No Child Left Behind law, what is the plan for students to be proficient in reading and math by the time they get to high school, for instance, and what if they're behind? What is the plan if that happens?
Well, the No Child Left Behind plan didn't really address specific strategies about how to improve reading or math competency. It did outline a set of requirements for assessment, none of which has really changed. We still have required annual assessment in grades 3 through 8 in communication arts and math. We still have required assessments in math and communication arts at the high school level. In addition, we have requirements for science competency at the elementary, middle school, and high school. Under EMSA-5, there will be some additional requirements that go into place specifically at the high school level that speak to additional. Somebody needs to mute their phone, please.
Okay. So you sent it to ISDN-1.
Somebody is speaking background noise. Everyone, your phone unless you're asking a question. Okay. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Thanks. So as we roll out EMSA-5 over the next few years, there will be additional competency requirements in social studies and as well as in fine arts and so forth.
Okay, Bill Grady, KMBZ News.
At least I'm not shaking so much anymore.
Dr. Castro, a couple of questions. First of all, you had mentioned that Kansas City schools had hit the 5-point mark. Is that number one? Is that satisfactory to you? And is Dr. Stephen Green's projection that we could get provisional reaccreditation by the end of 2012, is that realistic?
Robert, you want to help? No, of course it's not satisfactory. We're looking for districts to not just gain a single point or, you know, even enough to be provisionally accredited. We want districts to show high levels of improvement for all kids in all areas. We will be taking classification recommendations for those six districts I mentioned in September. Kansas City is not one of those. So their classification will not change this year based on our recommendation.
Bob Satnin, Sedalia Democrat.
I'm sorry, you likely won't be able to address this. I'm going to give it a shot anyway. County R5 took a plummet. They went from 14 down to 10. Action when you see a district fall off at that kind of a level.
Wait, which district did you ask about?
Pettis County, R5.
Pettis.
Certainly that would be a concern for us. That would be something that we would be looking at over the next several weeks. You know, just like I indicated earlier, our system is designed to provide all in the districts that
school districts must need at least 5 of 7. Over 600,000 students in the state
very well be one of
seven
who are
to be fully accredited. And
pick up any of that with all that background. It just kind of washed out.
And of course, does not have their phone muted. Please mute your phone unless you're asking a question.
Under state law and the Constitution is to classify school districts. So we've made progress, which ones might need more support.
Someone's playing a recording of what the commissioner said, and we only have a minute left. Okay, we're going to move on now to Dale Singer of the Beacon.
Based on the experience of state takeovers for several years in St. Louis and for the last few years in Riverview Gardens, do you think that is a good way to go in terms of trying to bring performance back up to satisfactory levels, or would you rather see a different way of trying to help those kind of school districts?
Well, I think, Dale, that what we've seen in St. Louis is effective improvement. We would certainly take some credit for that. I would say that most of the credit for that goes, as all of these situations, to the local superintendent and the board. It's not, we can't improve schools from Jefferson City, and we certainly acknowledge that. Having said that, it is our responsibility, and we take very seriously our responsibility to provide the kind of support they need to make that improvement. St. Louis, we believe, is at least at this point, appears to be a success story. They still have a long way to go, and I think Kelvin Adams would be the first to say that, but we're very encouraged by their progress. School improvement is not something that takes place in a short period of time, particularly in an urban district. In Riverview, we anticipate, and I think from the beginning we've anticipated it would be a several-year process. It's still underway, and I think it's too early
where we had 100,000 people
like
together.
Thank you for joining us. Kansas was unaccredited.
There has been a lot of
This is the final annual performance report that will be released for the fourth cycle of MSIP.
We're at 30 minutes now, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Feel free to email me questions if you have additional questions.
Accreditation standards to be fully accredited. And
thank you, everybody.